The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets and threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. How to describe something? We can do it in various ways. We can do it with definitions, in technical ways, or we can do it in more imaginative and descriptive ways. I'll give you a couple examples. I read an article not long about depression, and having not had to deal with that myself, I don't know a great deal about what it's like to suffer from depression. There's a technical definition. It goes something like this. Depression is identified as being in part due to an imbalance of brain chemicals and possibly because of an irregularity in the function of the parasympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system. In addition to the overwhelmingly sad and negative feelings normally associated with the condition, it is usually accompanied by the following: extreme fatigue, decreased motor coordination, changes in sleep pattern, changes in appetite and weight, anxiety, a loss of motivation and interest in things which were previously pleasurable, memory loss. There is a definition. These are descriptive of the condition, I suppose, but they don't convey to us what it's like. But there are other people in this article who were not doctors, the people who suffer from depression, and they described it as follows. Depression is like an angry sea. As large as the waves are, they still can't seem to get over that mountainous dune. Depression is like being lost in the forest. It is dark, cold, lonely, scary, and menacing. Depression feels like I'm at the bottom of the world's largest mountain and somehow I have to get to the other side. But I have lead boots on and I haven't slept for days. Depression feels like I am falling in a bottomless hole without the knowledge or power to escape the relentless gravitational pull. Depression feels as if I'm drowning, constantly struggling for air, struggling to come up to the surface and have just another breath of fresh air. Depression is like constantly living the saddest song you've ever heard. Depression feels like I have become an empty soda can. Depression feels like you're trapped in a glass box of sadness. Now I have a better sense of what depression is like. The technical definition didn't give me that sense of what it's like to live with. Now let's try something more positive. Let's describe love. That's a challenge, isn't it? How do you describe love? Well, there's a technical definition for love as well. According to Merriam-Webster, love is strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties, attraction based on intimate desire, affection based on admiration, benevolence, or common interests. Doesn't do it justice, does it? It doesn't tell you what love is, what it's like to be in love. But there are ways, and people offer them. Love is like a cloud. Love is like a dream. Love is a fairy tale come true. Love is like a red, red rose. Love is like wildflowers. It's often found in the most unlikely places. Love is like the misty rains flooding the river. Love is like a violin. The music may stop now and then, but the strings remain forever. Love is like the sea, returning as the tide. Love is like a puzzle. When you're in love, all the pieces fit. Love is like quicksilver in the hand. Leave the fingers open and it stays. Clutch it and it darts away. Love is a warm, woolly sweater to wrap yourself up in when the world is cold. Love is like a river of joy. These are so much more descriptive. They give you a sense. They convey a meaning that a definition can't do. All of these are similes. Love is like. Depression is like. These are similes. And they help us get into whatever it is we're talking about in a greater way. In a way that has meaning beyond what the definition can give. Scripture is full of similes. Let me offer just a few to you. In the book of Proverbs, it could have said righteousness is good, wickedness is bad. Instead, it says, the path of righteousness is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. It's a lot better than righteousness is good and wickedness is bad, isn't it? Could have said, honesty is good. Instead, it says, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. It could have said, a ruler who oppresses is bad. Instead, it says, a ruler who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain that leaves no crops. God spoke to King David. He could have said, it's good to rule nicely. Instead, God used a simile. He said, when one rules over men in righteousness, he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings the grass from the earth. Oh, the simile conveys so much more. In the end, the technical definitions define, but they don't convey that depth of meaning. It's virtually impossible to do that. I could tell you about the town I grew up in using coordinates on the map and street names and maybe tell you the name of the school I was at, what ages I lived there. But that wouldn't convey anything of my childhood. I would have to use stories to let you understand a little bit about the reality of my life in that town. We need that extra descriptive element. Well, this was the task that Jesus was taking on with all these parables. And he was trying, in what we heard this morning, to describe the kingdom of heaven. He had no pictures. He knew a simple explanation wouldn't do, so he used parables. Now, parables are a little bit frustrating to some of us. Most of you know my disappointment in the parable that follows the great commandments, love God and love your neighbor. And when the man asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor, what did he say? It would have been nice if he had said, your neighbor is one on whom you have pity. Instead, he said, a man was walking down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. That's how he answered the question, who is my neighbor? And he went on to tell the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because that gave more description. It gave a way to convey meaning, to draw the listener in. Jesus knew his audience. He knew that they were caught up in day-to-day living just as we are. He knew that it would be impossible to imagine this kingdom that Jesus spoke about. And so the parables. He used those images to tell little stories, sometimes one line, sometimes letting the image itself be the parable. We heard five of them this morning in that brief reading. Five of them. He compared the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed, to yeast, to treasure hidden in a field, to a merchant looking for fine pearls, and to a fishing net thrown into the sea. All brief parables helping the listener to take in what is the kingdom of heaven like. And they were intimately familiar, these images, intimately familiar to the people he was talking to. They were images from farming, from business, familiar to a merchant, fishermen. These were images people could get. They could convey meaning. And they're not too far, still, from our images today. We can understand that. Theologians like to say that the kingdom of God is both coming and here at the same time. That the kingdom is all around us. So we're like fish swimming in an ocean, unaware that we are in water. We're like a rider on a horse looking for a horse. We are like breathing beings unconscious of the oxygen that surrounds us because we don't always know that the kingdom is there. We are creatures of God, made in the image of God, but unaware the kingdom of God surrounds us. Someone once described an artist as someone on a tightrope between the practical world and the world of imagination. And Jesus, as an artist, describes the kingdom by walking that tightrope between imagination and practical. And he always, always speaks of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, in the terms of images or figures. He never said, the kingdom is this, or the kingdom is that. He always says, the kingdom is like something. A pearl, a merchant, a fishing net. And in the end, when you get down to it, we don't talk about love as attraction based on some kind of desire or strong affection for another. We talk about love as wildflowers. We talk about love as misty rains or rivers of joy. So we speak not to fact, but to truth. That's what the parables do for us. Jesus is speaking that passionate truth of God and God's kingdom, telling us that God's kingdom is coming, that God's kingdom is here, and that God's kingdom is for us. Amen.